Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Oh man, that's crazy. I had to clear my head. I bet you did. I bet you did. You dirty dog. Okay, I digress.
Hey babe,
it's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. How is everybody feeling? Happy Wednesday. So you guys know I normally do my updates. First of all, do we love my earrings? These earrings, for those of you that can see me, are like those, like, I don't know if it's Bottega Veneta dupes or something like that. I don't know what brand it's supposed to be a dupe of, but I usually am more of like a studs girl. Yeah. And I love these earrings. And also I'm more of like a silver girl. Or like platinum princess kind of girl, but I love it. And yeah, that's why I got my watch like gold and like platinum, because just in case, and it goes with everything. So you guys know one of my best friends got married. If you've been following me, she got married last week. It's now been a week for her to the day. Last week, this time I was at her reception and I had so much fun. I mean, to literally see someone that you grew up with, that you've known for like over 15 years. I'm not even 30 years old yet. And to see her literally get married, it is just a different experience. It really is. And I cried a bunch. It was just so beautiful. Like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like you just, and also like, I feel like I'm at that age now where everybody is getting married. Everybody's getting married. And it's so beautiful to see. And I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of her wedding day and her journey. And honestly, you know how big events, I say, tell you a lot about people. It tells you how much you really mean to people. And to me, it actually made me realize how much I love her even more. And it also made us, I feel like, even closer going through this beautiful time in her life. Like I had so much fun through and through. Every single activity we did was so fun. Her bachelorette was fun. It was just, everything was like my vibe. Like I just, I loved it so much. And so that was on Sunday. Monday, she kind of got married again because she had a Chinese wedding. And it was basically like a big dinner. They had like 12 courses, like on a spin table thing. And they were just like dishing it out. And every single dish that they give you a brand new plate. So I kid you not, I feel like I went through like 12 different plates. I mean, her dad, he was so amazing to me. He made me my own dishes personally, because obviously like I eat plant-based and I couldn't eat like most of the food, but he knows I love me my little sauteed string beans, chow, and my little sticky rice. And even the bean soup thing was really good too. I loved it. I loved it a lot. I had so much fun. So this video is going to pair really well with my video on talking about how to detach. I actually have a couple videos about detachment because I know that's you guys' favorite subject, because I think that video that I made about detachment is almost, it's sitting at like 1.8 million views, I believe. So I'm like, well, zang, like I didn't know you guys really liked that, but you guys really, really do. So I have more content in regards to that. So that's why today I want to actually talk about attachment styles, because I really feel like it'll be helpful and beneficial for you guys. And I'm also going to provide some examples as to what these things look like, because I feel like I'm the type of person where I like to learn by hearing stories. I don't want to just hear about what something is all the time. That's why you guys know I would nickname things and all these different scenarios, because I find it to be super helpful. So I'm not sure if you guys know this, but there actually is a book by the name of Attached. I do have it and I didn't finish it, but I do remember that it was super, super informative. And they obviously talk about the author, Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. Okay. They wrote the book Attachment, and it talks about the concept of attachment and how it impacts adult relationships. So they basically offer insight on the main attachment styles, which are three. I kind of think there's four because I did add a fourth one there because I think that one will explain the whole highs and lows in a lot of our relationships. So let's just dive in right into it, shall we? So number one would be the anxious attachment style. And this is going to look like an individual that has abandonment issues. They're constantly seeking reassurance from their partners, and they tend to be overly sensitive to changes in relationships, and they interpret every little thing as like a sign of rejection. And they tend to be really preoccupied with their partners and struggle with self-esteem. So an example of this would be, you know, let's just give her the name of Sarah. So Sarah is dating Mark for a couple months. She really likes him, but she's constantly worrying about the relationship. If he doesn't text her back right away, or if he probably cancels plans due to work, Sarah's going to assume the worst. That, oh my God, he likes someone else. He's losing interest in me. And these thoughts are going to make her feel very anxious and insecure. So to cope with this anxiety, this is where it's kind of toxic, isn't it? But it is a form of an attachment style where she's going to put herself in a position to constantly get that reassurance out of Mark. So she's going to send him these frequent text messages like, do you like really love me? Do you really want to be with me? Are you sure? Like, are you sure this is working? Because like, let me know right now, like if it's not working, that sort of thing. And constantly seeking verbal and physical signs of affection to help to soothe her doubts. Okay. So that's where people are going to be like, you know, you ever seen people? It makes me physically uncomfortable. Okay. When I see people like this, where it's like, they're constantly like petting the person that they're with, like, and they have like this like crazy eye look with themselves where it's kind of just like, like they just like want to be like in that person's skin. I can't stand it. I want to be in your skin type of person. I mean, I guess it depends, but I usually don't like that. It's giving claustrophobic. Okay. I need to breathe. And so because of this, Sarah is going to be the type of woman who tends to be hypervigilant about any changes in her man's behavior. So if he seems distant or unavailable, because with people like this, there's never usually an actual reason that they're feeling this way. It's just because of their attachment style, why they are feeling these things, but they're not always valid. What do I say? Your feelings are your feelings, but they may not always be real. You know what I mean? Your feelings, they are valid, but they're not always real. That's the difference. And we have to discern the difference. Anyways, so she's going to become more anxious, more clingy, more emotionally demanding. If he wants to go out with his friends and you feel like there's something wrong when there really isn't, let's just say in this instance, there isn't something wrong. It's looking like, well, why don't you just stay home with me? Why don't we just have like a night in? Like, I don't understand why you have to go out. And it's like, girl, he lives with you. Like, relax. Like, it's not that serious. And then the ironic thing about people that have this anxious attachment style is that they tend to struggle with setting boundaries in a relationship because of the fear of asserting what their needs actually are. And they're scared that it's going to push that individual away. So it's a constant torturous cycle of trying to assert yourself, but feeling like it's going to push that person away. But you kind of are pushing this person away anyway. So it's really just like a torturous cycle, to say the least. And overall, because of her attachment style, it's going to manifest in a way that is going to give her this constant need for validation and reassurance because of her fear of abandonment and her difficulty in managing her anxiety in the relationship. And this attachment style can actually lead to a lot of relationship challenges. Okay. Because any person that's in this type of situation is of course going to feel like overwhelmed and pressured and very claustrophobic, because who wants to be around someone that is in constant need of validation all the time? Number two is going to be the avoidant attachment. Ooh. Now I'm kind of curious as to how many of us can identify with any of these. No judgment. I just am curious. Now, people with an avoidant attachment style tend to be people that are uncomfortable with emotional intimacy, and they tend to prioritize independence, hypervigilantly, I want to say. And they'll find it very challenging to fully open up to their partners, or they often value self-sufficiency, like I said, hypervigilantly, of course. And avoidant individuals might struggle to express their feelings and might become distant when they're overwhelmed. Oh my gosh. I hope that's not me. No, because the thing is, I feel like when I am overwhelmed by something, the way that I need to process, true transparency moment, I do kind of tend to shut down a little bit. I did take the test and it came out that I was secure attachment. So, but I do feel like sometimes, and I don't, actually, no, I don't identify with this. You know why? Because I don't identify with the core features of it, which is like prioritizing my independence. I mean, of course I like being, you know, independent. I enjoy it, but I'm not like hypervigilantly independent where it's like, I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone. I don't need any help. Like, no, that's not how I feel at all. But I do notice the way that I process things is I just need a little bit of time to get through my thoughts and process everything in a healthy way. And I'm not immediately reactive towards something. Does that make sense? So an example of that, let's call this guy John. Okay. John has been in a relationship with Lisa. All right. They've been together for a couple months. He enjoys spending time with her, but he gets uncomfortable when his girlfriend starts to feel, I guess she expresses herself more to him, where things start to feel more emotionally vulnerable and intense, all right? So when Lisa, his girlfriend, tries to discuss her feelings and share her deepest thoughts and her emotions with him, like, I don't know, like what couples should be doing, he tends to withdraw and deflect the conversation. One thing I cannot stand is a person that you can't have a deep conversation with. I'm not understanding why you just can't go there. I'm just saying, maybe I'm being a little judgy, but that's just how I feel. I don't understand. Some people, you just can't go deep with them. And oftentimes I think that people like this tend to hide a lot in humor too. Like every time you try and connect with them on a deeper level, it's always like, what? Like, okay, like that got super deep, like next. Like it always has to be a joke. And it's like, no. Sit in this, stay in this. I want to know why this is, what is this striking up for you? What is this bringing up in you that you're uncomfortable? And the older that you get, I think it's so important to kind of like rest in those uncomfortable moments, because those are going to be the moments that you are going to grow the most in those uncomfortable moments. It's in those uncomfortable moments. It's in those uncomfortable conversations that you have that are going to really be pivotal to your growth. So because John really values his independence and his personal space, and I want to put a sidebar here, be careful of men that want to fake this, all right? It's all about having discernment, angels. Be careful of guys, because I know a guy once upon a time where he was dating someone that I knew, and he tried to fake the funk with the whole, I always want to have my space. I don't want to ruin what it is that we have, because what we have is super good. And so it can translate to the woman as he really likes me a lot, but he just needs his space. That could be true. But if a man really is talking about the future with you, and a man truly wants to be with you, are you not a part of his future? You mean to tell me at this big age that he has to maintain his independence, yet he sees you in his future, huh? Then you're not really in a relationship then, bud. Because a relationship is two people. So what he's basically saying is that he still prioritizes himself over her, and that's why he didn't want to move in with her. Yeah, very interesting. I just wanted to throw that out there. Like I was saying, so anytime a person like John, who has this type of attachment style of being avoidant, if he even senses or feels like his girlfriend, Lisa, is being too dependent on him, even for emotional support or validation, he's going to react to this type of anxiety by creating distance in the relationship. So he might make excuses to spend time alone. Oh, I'm going to the gym. I gotta go. I'm leaving. Because he can't sit with his feelings. Anytime Lisa wants to spend time together, he doesn't have time for it, and he always finds something to do. And the crazy thing about this, and I say crazy very lightly, is that these people actually believe the things that they're saying. Like, they actually do believe, like, no, like, I'm busy, I gotta go. And it's like, chill, sit down. Like, you mean to tell me that every time, and this can also look like whenever you get into some sort of argument, hey, it happens when you're a couple. Okay, you're gonna have a little tiffy. You're going to, you know, that's all I'm saying. You're going to have a little tiff and it's normal and it happens. But if you're going to walk out, I need to go. I need to get air. I can't stand up. What was that show? I was watching some show, Love and Hip Hop. I don't watch that show. Sorry. I don't know why I just said that. It was Real Housewives of Atlanta, I believe, where there was a girl in there named Drew, and I could be wrong, allegedly, don't sue me. I'm just saying, I think her and her husband are divorced now, Drew Sidora and her husband. Anyways, there was an episode when she came into the season where her husband, when anytime they get into an argument, or at least in that argument, what he did was, and who knows, I think he was just being deviant, in my personal opinion. Again, you have to have discernment in your situation. But what he would do is he literally would go leave the house for a couple days. I think in one instance in that episode, he went to Florida and he spent a couple days to himself. Oh yeah, Mr. Independent, you need to go to Florida and spend a couple days alone, yeah? What were you doing out there? That's what I want to know. What were you doing out there by yourself? You're just so independent. You don't get that opportunity here because we have kids together. You don't get to check out and be like, I need a break. I'm just going to go take a couple days to myself. Okay, Mr. Paternity Leave. What are we doing here? That's not how this works. Okay? And he did it non-consensually. Non-consensually. It's one thing if like, okay, maybe you're a partner. If that's you guys' type of arrangement, I'm not here to judge. But if you mean to tell me that you walk out the house, I'm thinking we're having an argument, we're having a little bit of a tiffy, and you leave, and I don't see you for the next 3 days, and you come back like, oh man, that's crazy. I had to clear my head. I bet you did. I bet you did. You dirty dog. Okay. I digress. So in times of conflict and emotional distress, good old Johnny boy here, he's going to shut down and withdraw. And he would rather shut down rather than emotionally engage in open and effective communication with his girlfriend because he believes that he should handle his problems or his emotions on his own. And so because of that, he expects his girlfriend to do the same. Why do we have to discuss this? Like, why does it have to be a discussion? It takes two to tango. Love is for the strong. Relationships are for the strong. It really does take two to tango, okay? And because of that, you have to understand that the way that even love languages go is we express our love languages in the way that we want to receive them, okay? So because of that fact, it's the same when it comes to our attachment styles. So, you know, if you feel like I need space, you're going to give someone else space because that's what you would want. You would want space. So you're going to give that other person space. It's really just human psychology. So in this case, Lisa, if she's trying to effectively communicate with him, she's going to feel even worse, right? So even though John, he cares about Lisa and he wants the relationship to work, unfortunately, his avoidant attachment style makes it really challenging for him to fully engage and emotionally be supportive and really cultivate those healthy emotional aspects in their relationship. Because he just shuts down. And inevitably, it's going to make Lisa, his girlfriend, feel very neglected. She's going to feel unimportant. She's going to feel rejected and desire even more of a deeper connection and, you know, with her man that he is going to struggle to provide. So overall, because he has this avoidant attachment style, because of his discomfort with emotional closeness, and he has this need, this hypervigilant need for, you know, his independence and his space, and he has the tendency to create distance whenever someone is trying to emotionally connect with him, this, of course, is going to lead to a lot of difficulties in his relationship, in his relationships, because when people desire more of an emotional connection, he simply cannot provide it because it's uncomfortable for him. And it's his way of connecting. There is none. He just likes to shut down and connect to himself. That's how that goes. So number three is a secure attachment style. Not trying to brag, but me. Just saying. Where people that have a secure attachment style, they're very comfortable with their interdependence in relationships. And they tend to have positive self-esteem and trust their partners. And secure individuals can also communicate their needs effectively and handle conflicts in a constructive manner. So you guys know I have a character for this one too. Let's name her Emma. It's our girl Emma. Emma has been in a relationship with Adam. Okay. For a couple months, and she feels comfortable expressing her thoughts to him, and she knows that he's going to listen, he's going to respond with care. And whenever she may be going through a tough time or feeling vulnerable, she doesn't hesitate to reach out to her man for, you know, support if she needs to. She also values her independence and her personal space, but she also enjoys spending quality time with her man. Emma trusts that her man respects her boundaries and that he will give her the space that she needs if she needs it. And at the same time, she also appreciates the emotional closeness and intimacy that they share. And anytime there's any disagreement, they're able to communicate openly and work through their issues together. Now, like I said, it really takes two to tango because, this all sounds all well and good. So it sounds like the both of them, right? Adam and Emma, they both have a secure attachment style in order for something like this to be so harmonious in the way that it is. So if you're able to have conflict, disagreements, and you have the ability to balance intimacy and also independence, and you're comfortable with your emotional closeness and you have trust in your relationship dynamic with your man, then obviously this type of attachment style is going to be healthy in cultivating a supportive relationship dynamic. It goes without saying. But again, it takes two to tango because let's just say you are someone. See, this is another thing. I feel like this is a separate podcast episode. But if you are someone that tends to, you know, you are a secure attachment style, but the person that you're isn't, I think that that's where things can get a little bit murky. And I do have to research more of this. What does it look like if you are this and that other person is the other thing, like, or another thing? I don't necessarily have the answer for that right this very second, but that's something to think about because then what happens? What I think what would happen is you would kind of still, because you have boundaries for yourself as a secure attachment style, you would then realize, okay, is this going to work or is this not going to work? I can't deal with someone that is has an avoidant attachment style or an anxious attachment style when I know that I know how to effectively communicate. Or maybe you might be someone that feels like maybe you're more understanding because you understand where it's coming from. It's up to you to figure out, but it's something to think about. And lastly, in the attachment style, we're going to talk about fearful avoidant. This is one that I found to be really interesting because even though in the book Attached, the authors are highlighting those main three, this fourth one to me is something that's very important. So fearful avoidant attachment style is going to be a blend, of anxious and avoidant traits. Okay, this is also known as the disorganized attachment style. So individuals with a fearful avoidant attachment style are going to desire emotional closeness, but they have a fear of getting rejected or hurt. So they might experience conflicting emotions and engage in conflicting behaviors, leading to a push-pull dynamic in relationships. And this attachment style actually often stems from traumatic experiences. So you know I have to give you guys an example, shall we? We shall. Let's name this couple Katie and Brian. Yeah, I haven't written down. Yeah, Katie and Brian. I changed the names though, I from what I wrote down. So Brian has been in a relationship with Katie for a while now. On one hand, he really wants to have an emotional connection with her and have that emotional intimacy with Katie. He enjoys spending time with her and he does feel a strong bond when they are together. However, at the same time, he also experiences intense anxiety and fear when they become emotionally too close. Have you ever experienced something like that? See, this is where I talk about the fact that like discernment comes into play, because I feel like guys play these games sometimes and they might not even have this sort of attachment style. That's just how they operate. I mean, is it really possible to operate like this and not have this type of thing? I really don't. No, you have it. Stop playing with me. You have this. I know that if you happen to be with someone that does the push-pull, I'm sorry, you have a disorganized attachment style. End of story. I was going to give it the benefit of the doubt for like a nanosecond, but I've changed my mind. No. You have this. If this is you, ain't no way you are sitting here doing that. I mean, unless you kind of like that, if that's like your thing, where you like a little seesaw, push and pull. I don't know. You tell me. Anyways, I digress. So whenever Katie tries to get closer to Brian, he often responds with a mixture of closeness and also distance. He might push her away when she becomes too emotionally demanding or vulnerable in fear that he is going to be rejected if he fully allows himself to engage and let himself go in the relationship. I'm betting that a lot of you have experienced something like that. So when she withdraws and then she creates distance in response to his mixed feelings or his mixed signals, he becomes anxious and then wants to pull her back in closer. Do you see how that works? He's comfortable with letting her fall off and then trying to get her back because that seems to make more sense to him. But if she's reciprocating what he actually truly wants, for some reason, that makes him uncomfortable. Okay, guys, there's a song I want you guys to listen to called Mixed Emotions by Emily Weisbin. Okay, and I actually like this song, but literally, I think this song, now that I think about it, is a literal disorganized attachment style where she's saying, first, I'm happy that you called. Then I'm scared. What if I really fall? And I wonder if we should talk at all. I'm guarded. I'm open. I'm sinking. I'm floating. Part of me knows it's real. Another part's too in my head to deal with it. I wish I could just tell you how I feel, but I'm too busy choking on my mixed emotions. Pull you in, then I pull away. I can breathe, then I'm suffocating. Maybe we're better off as friends. Then we're passing secrets with our eyes again. A little bit of everything is my MO. Let me show you how a day in my brain goes. Then she goes into, first I'm happy that you called. Then I'm scared. What if I really fall? And then this is what's crazy. The bridge of the song says, hey, 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 don't move on from me yet. Cause I think you could be it. And then it goes, but I'm freaked out. I'm not sure, but I'm so sure. Like, you guys have to listen to this song because I think a lot of you are going to be able to relate to it. Because I'm not going to lie, like at one point when this song came out, I was seeing this guy at the time and I was feeling this way. Like, not that I have this, but like I was feeling this way because of how he was to me. It was giving me that. So it made me give that to him. Am I making sense?
So all in all, whenever you have this sort of push and pull dynamic, that it really creates a lot of confusion and instability in a relationship. And Brian's fear of emotional vulnerability and closeness is going to prevent him from fully committing to the relationship, even though he wants the connection. And it's this internal conflict of, you know, wanting that intimacy and closeness, but ultimately you're just fearful and avoidant if you actually do get it. How torturous does that sound? And like I said, these individuals that have this type of attachment style, it tends to stem from experiencing trauma and inconsistent caregiving in their past, leading them to these very conflicted feelings about relationships and emotional intimacy. And that, of course, makes it really challenging to be with somebody that's like that. It's difficult to maintain stable relationships and fulfilling relationships with people that are going to, you know, engage in behavior like that. Like I said, you have to discern what is right for you, okay? Because at the end of the day, people showcase behaviors like this, but you have to really assess if that really is their attachment style. Some people really do have this. Secure attachment being the least. I didn't study this. I didn't get the statistics on it, but I personally feel like it would be the least. I feel like the top three would be avoidant attachment style, disorganized attachment style, and also an anxious attachment style. And arguably, I would go as far as saying the disorganized attachment style is actually number one because it's an amalgam of the other two. Yeah. So think about that. All in all, I think what's really important to consider is what is your attachment style? Before you worry about detaching from anything, you need to worry about what you are attached to. Because everyone wants to know how to detach, but it's so important to figure out, do I have a secure attachment style? Do I have an anxious attachment style? Do I have an avoidant attachment style? Do I have a disorganized attachment style? These are things that you need to figure out before you hop on a video talking about how can I stop caring so much? Like, you have to figure that out. You have to get to the bottom of that. I mean, I think the good news about this is that attachment styles are not fixed traits, okay? They absolutely can evolve over time with more self-awareness and also personal growth. That is the good news. So while attachment styles tend to be relatively stable, you can work through those things and develop more secure ways of relating to people and having stronger relationships by working on your emotional intelligence, by working on your communication skills, and addressing any unresolved issues from your past, and also understanding that attachment styles, they just provide insight into people's behavior and how they are in relationships and offer a foundation for personal development and also healthier connections with others. Because let me tell you this, in life, there's a lot of people that we meet, and sometimes we don't really understand half the time that people are really struggling with their mental health, all these different things. And it is so important to really figure out, just like we're so obsessed with love languages, I need to know what your attachment style is, baby. That's what I need to know, okay? Because this explains a lot, does it not? Does it not make a lot of sense why some people really do struggle with trying to commit, how people process things? I'm telling you, this runs parallel to those love languages, because when you were in a relationship, I promise you, you are going to fall within the umbrella of any of those four. That's just the human experience. And understanding that about yourself first, and then also your partner, is really going to help you navigate and really be able to cultivate a lot more healthier dynamics in your life. And I really want to encourage you guys to take a test. I think in the show notes, I'll provide some sort of test for you guys, as well as the book link to this, because I really think that it's important to educate ourselves on this. And also, just again, from my research, figuring out how to get to a secure attachment style, it's just a matter of cultivating that emotional intelligence, like I said, and really going back and thinking, and getting into the nitty gritty of what traumas, what things have you experienced so that you can begin to develop more of that secure attachment style, because that is inevitably the end goal for everyone in order to maintain a successful and a healthier dynamic. And this goes for friendships, and this also goes for romantic dynamics as well. So short and sweet and to the point this week, angels. I really hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. Make sure that if you're watching me, that you give this video a thumbs up. And I'm always open to suggestions from you guys. I don't know if you guys saw this by now, but if you're still listening, I have opened up a little broadcast channel on my Instagram where I communicate with you guys. I put polls in there, things like that, because I'm going to be offering my video coaching and consulting service so soon. And I'm so excited for you guys to get on that and offering that new service to you guys, because I'm telling you, I'm so thrilled to be speaking with you guys one-on-one. It's going to be a really good time. I've never offered something like this before, and I know that it's really going to be impactful for you guys, and we get to interact in real time. So it's not going to be like it was before where we're doing the phone call sessions, or which are my favorite, or we're even, I'm sending you a video of myself and I'm typing like a million pages to send over to you guys. It's going to be us chatting one-on-one via Zoom and everything. So be on the lookout for that. And thank you so much for watching. Of course, like I said, did you give this video a thumbs up? Make sure you're giving this video a thumbs up. If you also enjoyed this episode and you're listening, make sure you're rating and reviewing it. And any information that you need to know will be in the show notes down below. Do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I will speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.